find your forte.
Live your forte.
Welcome to another Finding Your Forte episode. I'm Seeps, and today I've got two very special guests with me. I've known them for quite a while now, but I've been meaning to sit down with them for a very long time. I know them as something different to you may know them, but I'm going to introduce them as the Lost World Collective, but formerly they're known as Jamal and T. How are you guys?
Doing good, man.
Yeah, well. How's your day been?
Yeah, all good, man. All good.
Yeah,
traveling from deep south to get to get all the way up here.
Coming from deep south to deep north, you know, not even that deep north, but you know, I really appreciate it for coming down. But congratulations and well done on the event yesterday. That was called Show Out, right?
That's right.
So tell me a bit more about that.
Sure. Well, Show Out is our premier headline event that we've been doing since late 2015.
Okay.
This has been our seventh show since 2016, and we're just really enjoying it.
Yeah.
We have headline acts perform plus open mic. We have giveaways and game shows. So it's a really fun, good vibe, good event for good music.
Okay, cool. And so, like, is this one of many things? Well, I know that this is one of many things that you do in the Lost World. So how would you describe it? Because it might be slightly different to how I may describe Lost World.
What's that, Lost World as a whole? As a whole, I say Lost World is, you know, I'm going to say all things wavy. You know why? Cause like, yeah, man. Like, really and truly, everything about it is organic. Because, like, we came in the game initially, like, I was just rapping. Like, I'd been making music with my friends from, like, secondary school. And, like, I'd known Jamal since nursery. So, yeah, I always known that he wasn't so much into making music, but he was into music, into the same music as me. So, one day I hit him up and said, like, Let's make a record label and let's make something, innit?
I remember still having
a text. We sat down and we went to Starbucks and we proper like hashed out a business plan.
Yeah.
And yeah, man.
Have you still got that business plan?
Yeah.
It's always a work in progress.
Yeah, it's always a work in progress.
Business plan is always a work in progress.
Yeah, exactly. It's always circumstantial and all of that.
So, they say that if you stick to a business plan, you're doing something wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because obviously you have to adapt to the situation. Even obviously doing the shows and stuff, it's like even on the night, bruv, even like the lineup, it's one thing at 7:30, but it's a completely different thing at 9:30. Yeah, so it's just,
those things, man,
we just got to be ready to, man.
Yeah, so what other events have you done bar show out?
Well, yeah, we started in
2012.
Yeah,
very first one. Shoreditch.
Yeah, and we had Ash Ketchum, Art Daily, Jack Max.
Shooky.
I was on it myself, T-Stone. So yeah, it was a good night, man.
Yeah. And it looks like you've had a lot of acts that have got quite a buzz notoriously underground. It's like, I guess that kind of pays tribute to how eclectic your ears are.
But
how is it that you kind of scout these artists? Is it just what kind of, what do you do to kind of scout these artists?
It's a combination of things, I'd say. Like, for me, it's like, it's a combination of, like, vibe. Like, if you're out there and you're proper making waves, like, there's people with 200 followers that come through and they just kill it. So it's not all about popularity. Like, do you know what I mean? And same way, a lot of people know people and, like, you know, people suggest people and we check them out and they're real good in it. Yeah. So we try to keep our ear to what's going on and who's doing what. You know, you might see a certain name doing like several shows and you think, okay, what's he saying? You check him out. It's like, you know, you make that connection. Yeah, and obviously, like, it's not so difficult for us to shout people because, you know, we've been doing this bracket for so long, isn't it? Because, like, I almost feel like, especially in UK rap, there's almost like there's two lanes. There's the Link Up, Grime Daily lane, and then there's the other lane, which doesn't necessarily have such big brands attached to it, but it's important all the same for the culture.
Yeah, I get it, like the organic kind of. I think that's one thing that kind of attracted me towards when you guys were doing Rap Jam in a sense was you were seeing acts that, again, you didn't really hear of, but there was it kind of showed the talent that was bubbling at the bottom of the pot.
I feel like it's a combination of like things that you didn't hear of, but that you don't know that you like it yet, but you see it and you like it. But then there's also people like, especially with the first show, if you look at the people on it and what they were doing at the time, and then you look at them now and you look at what they're doing now, it's like you can see that, we knew what was going on, like, especially with, like, the Catchums, you know, even, like, Miss Banks. I was having a conversation with Mups the other day and he was saying, like, he remembers before she even rapped, you know, she was a spoken word artist and she sent, like, us the first tunes and stuff. and like it's like to see where she is now with like 18k plus followers and like you know what I mean, stuff like that. She's gonna be headlining our next show on September 5th.
Oh, really?
So
yeah,
oh, yeah, cool, we announced that today, so that's dope. So
but we've had her on you know many times before that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
It's like that's a continuous thing with our show. I feel like
That's what I mean. Come it's on, just like her.
They go on.
I think another thing I've noticed is that you are happy to put on the same act twice, maybe not on two shows in a row. But you'll give them that invite.
If you know, it's almost like Lost World and Friends, you know.
Yeah.
And it's like really and truly, like London's only so big, so I'd like our friends to be everybody that's similar thinking. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, yeah, man, we want to have everybody popping because really, what we want to do is get the momentum going and take this other places. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I don't know how the EU referendum will affect it now. But at the time, like, the plan was like, yeah, man, make Europe our USA. You know what I mean?
No, I agree. Definitely. It's much more easy to as well, to be fair.
Yeah.
But in regards to, like, going and doing events, mm-hmm. I guess you've got the music side as well. So how did the whole label dream pan out? How is it panning out, should I say?
In the first meeting that we had back in Starbucks all that time ago, I think it was the first thing we wanted to do was do the label.
We were kind of picking other artists. We had artists in the hat that we kind of thought, you know, we'd like to try and maybe manage them, etc. Like, we spoke to people and we realized, okay, at this moment we don't have the capital, we don't have the know-how to go and get somebody that would maybe even be worth our time, and we wouldn't be worth their time. So what we did was, okay, we'll use the business model, maybe on myself, for example. And like, obviously, I was just making music and we didn't even have a name. I remember we went for another meeting down at South Bank, just me and Jamal, and we were going to run with Paper Plane Music.
Yeah.
That was the original name. Exactly. And then we thought it maybe was a little bit corny. So
that's probably around the same time MIA song was out as well. So, you know.
Yeah. I guess that would have been a little. Yeah. So, we ended up on Lost Boys Recording. So that was the original. Like, even that's the official, that's the company. Lost Boys Inc. That's the over company, and then Lost World spawned off of that, where like we wanted to make a lifestyle brand off of the company.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you see what I mean? So like, even without Lost World, there's still a company.
Mm.
But like, obviously off of Lost World, they show out. Even show out, it's like not necessarily Lost World. It's just, you see what I mean? It's just another thing that.
So do you keep it? Do you affiliate it with Lost World?
Because I feel like Lost World, the name rings bells. You know. If you know anything, you know that. So like, if we do another event, we put Lost World on it. It's like. It's a continuation of what we've already done, you know. Rap Jam, it did a lot, man. It did a lot, and I'm proud of the people that we had, and like the I feel like it was our brick in the wall.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, I guess Rap Jam kind of evolved into Show Out. Is that a fair assertion to make, or
because Rap Jam is not dead.
No.
Oh, it's not dead.
Rap Jam is not dead. Nah. What it is what I would say. Is we were doing Rap Jam, and it was kind of the model that we spoke about before, where I kind of wanted to do it. Well, we were looking to do it at least like quarterly and make it a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And then like talking to Mups, obviously as an artist myself, Mups was like, you know, he's telling me I need to do more open mics. He's like, bruv, like, you know, there's one in New Cross, there's one here, like, you need to be hitting up these places. I'm like, bruv, like, that's long.
Mm-hmm.
I've got kids, I've got like work, you know what I mean? We got our own shit going on, like, I can't be running around like that. And I thought, you know what? Why don't we make our own open mic and bring people to us and get that same crowd but coming to us?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, the one that we just did yesterday is the first time I've been on a flyer. And even then, I was only even on it because somebody we had on it before dropped out.
Okay.
So it's like, but I'll still do a set. Yeah. I might do two songs. I might do one song. Yeah. You know what I mean? But like, you know, it's a whole new crowd of different people each time. Definitely. It's like, you know what I mean? So that's how it started initially. And then just having people just literally walking in. We had so many talented people on open mic. We had like, Deeper from Wave Gang, we had CR Blacks, we've had Flipping Four Eye, we had Pat, like, bro, the talent that's come through to open mic is like, that was the point. Do you know what I mean? It's like, if you've got some new shit, come down to show up. Like, it's like, you ain't on the lineup, but bro, you come through early, give us your CD, you're good to go.
So, what was how important was the branding thing? I guess to appeal to these acts, even if they're not relatively known, everyone's got an ego.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, okay, why should I do it for you? Some people are very open to doing new things, but. Mm. I guess maybe it's my misconception of a lot of artists is that they kind of have this entitlement that they should be given more than what they need to earn for. So with you and your branding appealing to these artists, how would you say you branded yourself to make it sound more authentic or come across more authentic?
I think we really just wanted to just let them know that we're, you know, good company, good guys.
Yeah.
That would just want to put on a great event.
Mm.
And for them to come along and join with us in our branding. Mm. It just makes sense as we're all trying to do great things, and build each other. And we feel like, you know, the partnership on the show with us giving them a platform to come and perform would be like a great working relationship. Mm. And I think it's worked out really, really well for us.
For me, like in terms of branding, I didn't really feel like the branding, like, I don't feel like we've ever really had to consciously brand anything because Jamal and myself are like really quite like-minded in the sense of style and stuff like that. So we already know what we think is going to be cool and what's not cool. And we try to have things packaged kind of cool as possible as we can do it. And obviously off of the back of that, some people, like, they see it and they fuck with it and they come through on a no-ego thing and then, bruv, they kill their set. Like, you know what I mean? And it's a fantastic thing. Other people, obviously, from time to time, like, you know, I will get the response sometimes, like, bruv, I'm not even trying to do no open mic. It's like, all right, cool.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, for me, like, when I'm there on the night, et cetera, et cetera, it's like, bruv, more for you, innit? Because I've been here, innit?
Yeah, nice. No, true.
And then, you know, you want to hit me up. But
yeah, when they see the videos, and when they see the show's popping.
Yeah, definitely. I think the one thing that's been very interesting about you guys, I think, is also seeing your media output, which I think is quite underrated at times, where how much effort and consistency you put out with visuals and just keeping that aesthetic alive. I think, I guess maybe the access to talent you do have in terms of putting out that stuff. But one thing that's always been key about you guys is how you kind of present your events, even if it's like the recent ones where you kind of apply that videotape filter.
Mm.
It kind of fits the whole kind of branding that you're doing from my perspective, and that's, I'm a consumer. Yeah. So what is it like from your end? Like, what kind of things have you had to learn about social media when promoting your brand?
I think way back early, I think we used to, you know, be on Twitter a lot, and maybe invite people, and do all of that, and then get blocked by Twitter and tell people to DM to Twitter. Be like, yo, say free tea.
Because we're going to get the views,
we're trying to get people to see all this, and we've evolved.
And it works.
We don't have to do that anymore.
Because the connections are strong now. Because, like, you know, I kind of feel like we're getting to a point, if we're not there already, especially within our lane, there's not many people, if any, that we don't know or don't know us. You know what I mean? Whether it's like that third degree of separation or not, like, we've kind of touched everywhere. Do you know what I mean? So there's that. So it's all good, man.
Most definitely. I think the one thing that I liked about coming to your guys' things, or just even being around you guys, was like how easy you guys networked with people. It's like you always knew someone in the room. So in terms of that, like, how has the network you have helped you?
I was like, okay, like, I'm making videos, but, like, there's not so many blogs that are, like, really picking up this type of music. Do you know what I mean? So let's make our own. It's like, okay, there's not that many shows that's, like, putting on these kind of people, so let's make our own. Because, like, there's so many wavy people, like, do you know what I mean? Like, even, like, you look at all the people that's been on the show, like, at least, like, half of them, like, we've done songs together and stuff like that. So it's like, yeah, man, like, I genuinely believe in the scene, like, be that across London or specifically South, because obviously, like, obviously I link up with a lot of people and make music with them, and, like, they're my friends, innit? But, like, obviously doing the shows, etc., across London, there's so many people, like, it's like, bro, you're genuinely talented.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just because you're not talking this or talking that, like, you're not getting the same light as maybe somebody a little bit less talented than you. But I see it, and yeah, man, you never know. Like, things change, innit? There's tastemakers, there's defining moments, innit? You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, so, definitely. In regards to, like, I guess you guys being from South London, I guess the one thing that's another key thing is just, I guess there's a misconception about those in South London are quite fragmented, you know, the whole territory thing. But that's maybe from the view from the other side.
Yeah.
But from you guys being from South London, what I've noticed is that you always seem to attract a very dominant and supporting South London crowd. Like, what is life growing up in South London? What are the misconceptions you think people have about South London when it comes to your scene and just growing up there?
I think people view South London as like a bad place, but that's not the case. Like, we're friendly people.
I grew up, at least 3-4 places that got you.
It's a nice area, and I didn't experience any problems growing up. Obviously,
but having dealing with other artists from South, and I guess, say, for example, two guys from South that are from maybe opposing areas. Has that ever been a problem at your shows, or have you experienced any, like, I'm not doing a show because my man's doing a show, or anything like that?
Nah, never. Never had nothing like that.
Even, like, like I say, really, I feel like from the get go, we knew our lane. Do you know what I mean? Like, we're like, bro, to be honest,
how would you describe your lane then?
I would describe it as, I guess, new wave. I guess the new wave is the term that pretty much everybody's kind of generally fresh. Accepted. Mm. But, like, yeah, it's like, you know, like I say, obviously, I don't really want to name artists, but, like I say, there's the Link Up TV artists. Mm. And then there's the more independent artists doing, like, people that you see on our show, do you see what I mean? Mm. Doing, like, maybe, like, just, like, different perspective, innit? And,
do you think one's better than the other?
Nah, man. Because at the same time, like I grew up listening to, like, Gigs and, and Gets, etc. But then at the same time, I was a teenager listening to, like, Kid Cudi and shit like that, do you know what I mean? So it's like, yeah, man, like, there's, I just feel like some people maybe put their influences into practice more than others, do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I feel like maybe, it's obviously a biased view in it, but like I feel like maybe one lane is slightly more creative than the other. Like if you watch like videos, like the, you can see the back door and the amount of work that people have put in.
Yeah.
Like if you watch, like I say, man, I could name so many people that have done our show even in the last, like this year, do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like if you watch their videos and you compare them to certain channels and stuff, it's like it's a different level of taking care, of craftsmanship, and you know what I mean? It's like, yeah, and obviously not disrespecting anybody's craft because these people are all very successful and obviously they've got their lane, but I'm saying...
Definitely. In terms of, like, from the visual element, I guess, like, something else you guys also have is, like, lost vision.
Mm.
No?
Yes. No, yeah, basically, that's Mops' company.
Yeah, okay, that's Mops' company. So, Mops, cool. I guess, has been your almost your video director and such, your videographer.
Yeah, Mops, the thing is...
More than that, to be fair, but, yeah.
Even that, I feel like the whole backstory is deeper than people realise. Like, really and truly, like, the way that it started was, like I say, me and Jamal had these meetings, we decided on this, etc. At the time, Mops was making beats.
Okay.
So I was recording with Mops. Mops recorded some of my early songs. Recorded and produced, actually, some of my early songs, like Amsterdam, for example.
Yep.
And Inspire Me and stuff. And yeah, they did big numbers. They was on a lot of websites and stuff. Like, it was a real good start. That's what he was doing. So that was our relationship at the time. So he was just making beats, etc. I knew him because he's my friend Stefan's cousin.
Yeah.
Richards. Yeah. So that's how, I met him, like, as a young teenager. I knew he made beats, so... That was the relationship. Then obviously being at his house more and more, like I remember there was just one summer, like we were just like at it, like at least on a weekly basis where I was over there. So like we was just chilling, recording, and it's like, we need to shoot a video. It's like, oh, I got this old camera here. Picked up some dusty old like handy cam. Bro, we shot a video, went back to his and sat and edited it. It was like, it was it was crude as hell.
Yeah.
But like it did the job. It was for Otis remix. I think that was actually the first Otis remix as well. It's like literally like the song came out, I did that like the next day, and then all the other ones came after, but that's neither here nor there. But yeah, we did that, and it's just he's grown. Obviously, we're doing the shows. It's like, okay, I've got Photoshop on my laptop, let me fuck around with making flyers. That grew. You know what I mean? It's like we proper all just grew together, to be honest with you. And obviously, off of the back of that, he was in the company, and then recently has obviously decided to go and like, do his own thing, which is obviously like it's all good, man. Like, I speak to him regularly. I spoke to him yesterday.
He was at the show yesterday.
Like I say, like, to be honest with you, our relationship hasn't even changed like at all, man. So it's all good.
That's cool. So, in terms of like having additions to your team, how big has your team been as Lost World? And
what's the biggest number we had? Because we had a lot of people.
We had maybe
around 10 people at one point.
Around the table at one point, just thinking out ideas and
we had some good people.
Did they have specific roles, or was it just like a thing where whatever talent you brought?
It's the same with Mops, where like I'm not trying to give anybody jobs. If you want to pick something and kind of grow it here, then grow it here, innit? And that was the whole kind of thing, really. It was just a family kind of thing. Like, you can do as little or as much as you like. Do you know what I mean? We just grow together.
How difficult is it, though, dealing with people in a team and they're doing very little?
It's been difficult. Cause obviously,
how difficult, though?
In a sense of keeping people's attention. And us, you know, trying to be focused. And whereas it's difficult, whereas it's hours and we came up.
This is what
I was saying.
Somebody's not going to care about your baby as much as you are. And obviously, that's no judgment on their character at all. Obviously, especially if you come in on the premise that it's as much or as little as you want to do, obviously, you get out what you put in. Like, if you look at Mops, for example, bruv, he's like flown, like he's proper. Like, it's down to your own work rate. That's kind of how I look at things. It's like you can come here and you can do whatever you want to do. but I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I know where I'm going, so do you know what I mean? It's like a couple hands, whether they're trying hard or not really trying, it's like still a couple more hands.
But doesn't that impact any of your projects though? Like, I guess it's good. And the one thing I appreciate, and I think the one thing I've kind of touched on in the past, is like expectations. And I guess you guys having that, do as much or as little as you want, is ultimately saying, I have no expectation from you, so whatever I get from you is a bonus.
Yeah, exactly.
So, but at the same time, I guess when you're doing certain projects, you need that, we're all in it. Yeah, so
definitely.
How is that, what, have you got any experiences in the sense where the team has let you guys down, or let each other down for that matter?
I'd say things like that have definitely happened, especially when we were doing parties. Like, there's just little touches when, like, somebody's supposed to pick up, like, the balloons and this, that, and the other, and, like, they haven't done it. And it's just like, you know, you said you was going to do it.
Yeah.
But, like, all of that really, like, even from my angle, is, like, it's a learning curve, because you get to a point where I'm at now where I fully understand, if you want it done, just do it, innit?
Like, do it yourself?
Yeah, just do it, bruv, because to be honest with you, it doesn't take that long to sit and type out an email. It doesn't take that long to stop off somewhere on your way home. Mm-hmm. It's like, if you're taking sole responsibility, then you have nobody to blame but yourself, and you completely eliminate that frustration.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Because, like I say, nobody's going to care about your dream as you do. If you find somebody that does, then that's fantastic.
Yeah, that's true. I agree.
Like, yeah, I mean, if you're putting your ball in uncertain courts, then that's on you, innit?
And even though, you know, the team is... has grown and gotten smaller, we've always been, you know, 100% you know, knowing that we want this. So we've been able to cover all bases in the sense of, right, like, it's cool that it's just me and T being able to do it instead of, like, a large team function around us. Not saying that that's not beneficial to the company, of course it is, but we're doing really well.
So you've been able to experience both sides of it. Having a lot of people, but then just having each other.
Yeah, you know
what I'm saying? So, I mean, being friends and having a business together, and also then, I guess you two, like you said, go back into nursery. Yeah. That's a good 2 decades plus.
Yeah, like nothing quite really.
That's a different kind of friendship. Yeah. But the new friends along the way who have jumped on the wave, have jumped on the business. I mean, have you ever felt any negative sentiments any times towards these new friends? Or have you ever felt like people have used you in any way?
Nah, man. For me, I took inspiration from you know, the little Kanye quote book
that came out
a long time ago, and he said, you know, if you can't be used, then you're useless. Do you know
what
I mean?
I really can't.
Like, bruv, use me. Like, you know, you've got to show use me. Like, because it's useful to me as well. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's, bruv, I'm all about energy. Let's get as much going on as possible, because to be honest with you, like, I feel like so many people's perspective is a bit mashed up. They're thinking about, like, money now. But, bruv, there's not money now.
Yeah.
Let's work and then get the real money later.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So that's how I look at it.
So I guess short-termism is one thing, I guess.
Yeah, man. But at the same time, even with it, like, it doesn't mean that there's nobody and it's just me and Jamal. Like I said, there's still about another 3-4 members of the team that got little roles. Like, we got a photographer, like, obviously, especially with Mups doing his own things, like, Mups still comes through to the show, but we can't rely on that now. So, you know, I've got a new photographer, got a new guy, like, literally just hit me up now. We need a new hat supplier, just hit me up with one, Nathaniel. So, like, we've got, our DJ, so then we still got the cogs in, like, because we can't do everything, don't get me wrong, innit? But, yeah, I mean, we're at a good balance now, and I'm kind of excited to see where we can take it throughout the rest of the year and then next year.
Oh, definitely, definitely. I mean, I guess the one advantage you have is that you've done so many in a row now.
Yeah.
I guess it's become like a habit.
Yeah, that's the thing, you know, like, all of that nerves and all that, like, it's just second nature now, especially where we're doing monthly at Ritzy now. It's like, there's times when, there was this one month when they had to cancel. I can't remember what month it was, but they hit us up and we had to cancel that show. So, like, there was, like, a gap. So, it was almost, like, a two-month stretch with no show. And, it got to, like, 6 weeks in, and I was pulling my hair out, bro. I just didn't know what to do. It's like,
That's crazy.
Yeah.
How important is that kind of consistency, particularly for events?
Oh, it's definitely important. Yeah. Yeah, if you're going, like, 12 times a year, you know, you have to, you know, have that consistency.
You gotta have it down,
isn't it? Because, you know, because you want people to keep coming. You want new people.
Mm-hmm.
And you also want the crowd that keep coming still. So obviously it's on us to make sure the show is run perfectly on the night, and any challenges that we do have, just like the last show, you know, when like in a space of 10 minutes, mm-hmm. Two people drop out, and we have to change things, that we have to be able to adapt to these situations, mm-hmm. and being consistent in the long haul,
you know, it's
helped us.
So what do you think the hardest lesson has been to learn during this process? Like, you know, there's been these difficult moments where people have dropped out, or yeah. someone may have not fulfilled their obligation to you. Like, what has been the hardest lesson for you? Like, the one thing that's kind of still a pet peeve at times as well, maybe a crystal grind your gears, doing these kind of things, these kind of business type of events?
For me, I'd say it's attention to detail. Mm. I don't know what it would be for you, but for me, like, when we hit a point where, like, you know, we have the same small problem, like, 2 months in a row, it's like, bro, wow, we're still having this problem. Do you know what I mean? And these frustrations, but at the same time, obviously, you just have to overcome that, because it has to happen anyway. Mm. Do you know what I mean? And, like, even it ties in with all of the other people stuff. Like, the consistency, for me, it comes from 100% within, because I wake up every day thinking about Lost World. Mm. I wake up every day, regularly. The first thing I do, I wake up, I'm a little spliff, you know what I mean? Do whatever I need to do in the morning, get ready. And then I leave for work. On the train, I'm sitting writing out my emails. I wrote out like 3 emails before I got to work today. Mm. Like, that's my life, isn't it? It's like, and I can't expect that from somebody else.
Yeah.
So that's what it is.
Were you ever complacent during this journey?
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah,
there's bruv, been times.
Most this definitely. Year, this is the problem. We started 2011, 2012, I say, we hit the gas pedal.
Yeah, definitely.
And 2012... up until 2015, it was on off, it was like hot cold. Like, the brand was always about regard, like, because we had so many different kind of entities in it, whatever we're doing, we're still doing something. But like, just to actually get in, grabbing something and doing it properly, I'd say started from 2015 up until now, with proper, like, yeah, man, like, the website is down at the moment because we're shooting a lookbook and we're completely switching up the way that the website's going to work and stuff. So it's like, we're proper just getting our hands on and handling it properly now.
That's quite some time, like, from 2012 to then really hitting the mark
at 2015. Because life happens as well, do you know what I mean? There's so many different factors. It's like life, do you know what I mean? Like, relationships. Because we're friends, but like, even still, certain times we have problems between us and stuff like that. So it's like, yeah, man, you can really hit unproductive months. You can hit unproductive 2 months. And then have a real productive 2-3 months, and then have an unproductive 4 months. Like,
so how did you kind of overcome those moments of unproductivity? Like, how did you motivate you guys? Because from my experience, I've gone months without doing anything.
Yeah.
And I'm always trying to do something. Even if I don't publicize it, I don't post it in the background, I'm still working on something. And there's been months where I've done literally nothing. And to kind of re-motivate myself, obviously I have my different ways. I may listen to a video, or I may, you know, watch a video, should I say, and listen to a video. But anyway, but do all these kind of, watch these like self-help books, read these self-help books and kind of thing. What do you guys do to kind of re-spark that energy to be motivated again?
I think, like, going out, especially with the show, I think going out to shows, other shows, regularly, is something that we should do, in a sense of trying to stay on top of things. And sometimes you lack the determination to, like, you know, go out and you'd be like, I can stay at home or do something else. But it's like, you know, that not doing that doesn't help, because then we're not fresh with acts, and we want to know what's popping in the actual moment. So instead of hearing about it or seeing it on social media, we need to be out there in field, basically. So, you know, doing that,
I guess constantly being exposed, I guess if you're going to people who are doing events like yours, they're ultimately your competitor. So you're learning directly from your competitor by going to the events. You may be showing love, friendly competition, but I guess you're right in saying going out and putting yourself in the mix. It allows you to see who the threats are.
There's competitive threat side, but there's kind of the opposite to that as well. Whereas, like, you might have somebody that you see on your social medias that a lot of people you know, or you might see their video popping, or they might have a hot song or something. Or maybe even vice versa, they might know the show or something like that. And then you actually meet at a party or at a show, and it's like, oh, you know, we definitely need to do something, and it's all love. And then, 9 times out of 10, we make it happen. So, it's beneficial as well as... Because Lost World is weird like that, because obviously myself as an artist and stuff, and obviously other people doing shows technically are competitors, but to some degree, I've never really seen it like that, because I can't really think of anybody doing shows that was doing it before us. I can't really think of many people that was doing this new wave kind of shit, like
that was
before,
the birth.
Yeah, man, before us or before people we had on the show and stuff. So it's like, I kind of feel like, to some degree, we're an unsung hero, because it's not even like everybody don't know, because they know us and they know that we're here, innit? But obviously, it's like having that continuity and having that consistency, etc. It's like, maybe that's let us down from time to time, innit? But yeah, man, there's nobody that I look at and think like, do you know what I mean?
But have you learned anything from other people's shows?
There's some people like Taser, for example. I say, because like, because obviously shows is one thing, but like parties and business models, etc. For example, like I remember, like, okay, there's Taser, even actually J Dragon as well to some degree, because like when I look at it, it's like, okay, before we started doing what we was doing, where was we going? And it's like, okay, we went to Bang Bang, we went to Bump, we went to like parties like where like Ash and stuff was there, we went to like obviously like Part of My Blog stuff, stuff like that. We went to stuff like Faded, obviously, whatever Taser was doing, etc. So it's like that kind of thing there. So it's like, okay, well, people can actually do stuff here, because prior to that, all I really knew was Sunday Show. But like, I couldn't fathom doing a Sunday Show myself. Do you know what I mean? That's Napa and Marvin. Do you know what I mean? But like now, it's like we're grown ups now. We're kind of stepping into, you know what I mean? Like slowly but surely, like, you know, people are taking roles and stuff like that. Yeah. So. Yeah, man, you just see it growing, isn't it?
Yeah, no, that's true. That's true. I think, you know, you mentioned a lot of places that I've even been. And
it's, yeah, that's like, what it's, I'm saying, because like London is, like I say, it's not big.
It's true. Not big, man. It's true. You're always gonna bump into a familiar face, man. But I think, in regards to, you've got competition now. Now, in terms of you two, as friends, as business partners, what kind of, have you ever had any money issues with each other or anything when it comes to investing money? Or has it been like, I need this, cool, here's the money for it? Have you ever had those kind of issues around money?
Yeah, of course we have, man, because like obviously like things just get messy sometimes, innit? Do you know what I mean? I know that, like, I've dropped the ball from time to time, and we just have to work through it. Do you know what I mean? Because at the same time, like, there's bigger pictures and stuff like that, but for me the biggest picture is I got family. I need to make sure they're straight, and that's my priority. And then after that, bro, we're gonna get it. And like whatever we drop, bro, we've always made it back. Do you know what I mean? Always made it back. Like, we're definitely up right now.
Yeah, and I think even like a situation where we were trying to get, like, you know, because we're obviously trying to always make the show bigger. So like talking to you know, artists from America and stuff like that, and you know, being in contact with agencies out there. I think I know, and I had a, you know, an issue where we just didn't have enough for this particular artist. And we couldn't pull it off, which disappointed us. And obviously that was going to be like a big, I can't remember what year it was, but it was going to be like a big end of, or summer.
2014.
Summer show. And we was like, because I think we've been planning from obviously the year before.
And we ended up doing the G-Fresh show.
So if we would have had that America, we was like, this show is going to go.
That, remember, like, obviously we don't want to drop too much names, but fuck it, let's just sit. Like, we was, well, we had currency at one point, and we was gonna bring him over. Tickets went on sale and everything. Then his management emailed and said like there was a problem and stuff, so we had to pull that. But prior to that, like, remember we was talking to Casey Veggies, we was talking to ASAP Nasty people. Like, all of them was kind of goal. Even Troy Ave at one point. All of these people, we had them as a goal as long as like we was ready, innit? So like, yeah, we've definitely done bits, and like I say, you know, it's almost like we could have even done more. And it's like, okay, well, let's get our shit tight. And
what was your key source of money? So I guess to invest in it, was it just you guys working, or did you ever?
Yeah, bro. Initially, well, Rap Jam heydays, me, Mups, and Jamal was all showing up with like £33 each for our £100 deposit for the thing, and like that, and then whatever we made after, like, we put into some hats or some tops or some like and ran it like that. But now, like, yeah, we haven't had to put our hands in our pocket for a while now. Like, yeah, obviously, like, there's still costs and stuff, but it's all handled. Yeah. It's all like, but Lost World pays for itself.
Have you ever reached out to get money elsewhere?
We spent time spending sponsorship emails and stuff. We've had like people on the line and stuff, and like, all been promising. But
how would you approach these kind of places? Like, how would you approach to get sponsorship? Do you kind of build a personal relationship? Would you go straight to a company, or would you?
Yeah, I guess
try and go to the company.
That's the approach.
More about us and what we do.
Because if you give a brand a backstory, especially if, like, you know, you pick your brand, like, maybe like that needs you to some degree as much as maybe you'll need them. Because there are brands that do have money that, like, you know, maybe want to buy into the cool factor a little bit more or something like that. And when you've had, like, artists like Stormzy and Bonkers on that one Bobo's, and you've had, like, okay, G Fresh and, like, Catching with Trapstar and stuff like that. Nate. And there's so many different, Nate and, who else? So many people, man. You can just pull up these names, you know what I mean? And it's like, it's helpful. Like, it spikes the interest, especially, like, one thing I've noticed even from booking acts is when you include pictures of like popping moments of nights and stuff like that, it's like, even if they haven't heard of you, it's like, okay, what's that?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's so helpful. So just trying to tell people exactly actually what it is. You know what I mean? Mm. Tell people, like, because it's not a lie. Mm. You know what I mean?
I agree. So like, in getting sponsorships, was it financial sponsorships or was it just like in goods that they gave you?
What? I think in this particular aspect of how we've run things, I don't think we've been so successful with sponsorships.
Yeah, we haven't.
We've always really just run with ourselves.
How come you feel like you've been unsuccessful? Why do you think you've been unsuccessful?
I think what I think is really and truly, like, what we're looking for is a bit more ambiguous than maybe what the companies that we're speaking to are after. For example, what we want is like generally just kind of more brand associations, stuff like that. You don't necessarily, like, financial would be great, especially if there was like just a little change each month to obviously keep the turning over of shows going. But even aside from that, like, because we were actually talking to G-Shock, do you remember?
We were real close
to getting a G-Shock sponsorship. Like, we had the guy on the phone, like, he's saying he's having the meetings and stuff. Like, we were real close. It's like, bro, even if they're not giving us money, like, we can do shows in the store.
Yeah.
We can put their name on the flyer. Like, do you know what I mean? But unfortunately, it didn't come through because they sent us something after saying that that from the top, that what they're doing is they're changing their kind of thing from like urban to like electronic dance kind of.
Oh, okay. And, like, so they're moving from like
exactly.
Okay.
So there's literally nothing we could really do about that.
Remember the cipher that we got?
We did a cipher in the G-Shock store. So obviously that was kind of the seeds, and we're kind of thinking that, you know, we might be able to get this going, because they're having all the cool kids coming down. We was all wearing G-Shock watches for the video and stuff, and it's like, they said they was gonna send each of us the watch we was wearing. They took down the serial number and our addresses, but we're all still waiting.
corporate lives. But I guess it's interesting to hear you talk about what you've been unsuccessful in the same breath that you talk about what you have been successful in. Because I feel like sometimes people have a view of business where they think it's just about the wins, and that you have to stack up as many wins as possible.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's a learning curve, isn't it? Sometimes those losses are actually help you get you a higher traction sometimes.
You don't know about open fired and shit like that. Do you know what I mean? You just look at, bro, even like Harrison Ford was like a carpenter at 40 and shit like that, bro. You just never know, innit? You just gotta keep plugging and believing in yourself.
I get you. So in the sense of like being able to get a sense of perspective, I mean, has there any been any moments where between you two, considering that you two not only friends but obviously within business together, where you just absolutely clashed heads?
Not massively, I felt like
you've been responsible for someone else's L personally.
Okay, alright. Well, actually, there was a situation where do you remember when I went to the Cameron show?
Why did you even bring that up? Alright, tell them about the Cameron show.
So, I've gone and seen Cameron and Skep to perform, but Cameron didn't come. I've written something about it for the site, and the guys didn't really like what I wrote. And we kind of, I think that was like our biggest clash of heads.
What was the content of what you wrote?
I think I was descriptive about, I can't even remember. Can you remember?
Yeah, I remember that. What happened was, Jamal went to the Cameron show. No, he hit us up like, yo, Cameron's performing, he wants tickets. Me and Marks was like, no, bro, he's not performing. And he was like, nah, he's definitely performing. Like, he's in the country, he did Charlie Slough. I was like, alright, well, have fun. But I wasn't sure in it, obviously, like, because I did know he was in the country, but obviously, like, especially coming from South, bro, everybody from South knows the Dipset backstory.
Yeah.
Like, do you know what I mean? And, yeah, so obviously, I'm guessing Cam came to the venue, got chased out of the venue, or, well, left the venue when it seemed like it might get on top of it. So Jamal wrote a detailed article about how upset he was that he'd left. Yeah. Like, he's a no-show. I said, if you're a Dipset fan, like, yeah, you shouldn't want him to put himself in danger. But obviously, he wasn't. He was seeing it from a, like, fan perspective. At the same time, like, I guess, like, if rappers are out here rapping about shooting and all of that, like, why are you running? So I guess that was his perspective. But we just kind of thought, from a company perspective, because we had posted, like, their songs, and, like, Cameron had retweeted, Santana had retweeted, so then obviously to then write a negative article, we thought wasn't in the best company's best interest. And, like, even with that, like, you know, just maybe posted it on your own thing or something he went and posted it on your own thing, which is, yeah, it's cool, man. Like, we just kind of thought we didn't want our whole company attached to that feeling, do you know what I mean? Whereas, like, that's how Jamal felt. We didn't feel like that, do you know what I mean?
Do you ever feel like you've got any negative press, or like you've experienced hate, I guess, from people?
Nah, don't think so.
There's been negative press. What? Well, you should read people's, like, video comments and stuff. Like, you can't take these things to heart, man.
YouTube comments are brutal.
YouTube comments are brutal. You just have to look at who it's coming from and where it's coming from. I do remember there was this one time, you remember we did the Everything Is Camo joint? I think you sent off to the Liverpool, like, no, not Liverpool,
Ramel London.
She was doing, like, a SoundCloud. Yeah, she trashed the song and stuff. And then, like, even down to that, like, obviously I respect everybody doing their thing, but like I say, you have to look at where it's coming from. And
was it I'm not really looking for her to be a fan.
No, she was just, she just didn't like the song.
Yeah, okay.
And that's cool. But then at the same time, like, there's, like, thousands of songs that wasn't, like, far away from that song that people just didn't mind or whatever. It's not like it was overtly, like, do you know what I mean? It was like, I kind of felt it was kind of mild, and what can you do?
I hear that. So I guess another thing that's kind of interesting is just your personal backstory in terms of being a father.
Yeah.
And I guess that's the one key difference in dynamic between you and Jamal.
Yeah.
In that respect. So how do you think fatherhood has changed you, not only personally, but from how you look at business now?
Well, for me, it's just changed everything. Like, I look at it and it's like, before I had him, it's like, I was like, what, 21, 22, I think I had him at 23, so like 21, 22 kind of ages, bruv, I was just like everybody else, do you know what I mean? I was living life, and that, I guess to some degree, like, that was part of the problem, because it was a blessing and a curse, because obviously starting out, it's kind of a fun way to be, it's good for meeting people, you can get chicks in your video, you can do whatever, all that shit in it, so obviously that, it sowed a lot of seeds for, like, connections going forward, so that was good, and then obviously having the baby, and, like, obviously, like, he's three now. I would say, like, I made a conscious decision. Like, I told them guys, like, I'm kind of out for a little bit. I need to be there for the first year or so. But same way, bruv, day he was born, I had a show and I was there. So, like, I slowed down, but, like, not really, you know, like. But at the same time, like, you know, when you do have that kind of thing, and, like, your kids are young, you kind of just want to kind of, especially, get home and, like, kind of do that, innit? It's kind of getting to a point now where, like I said to you earlier, I can have a conversation with him now. He wants to go and do other things. He wants to go see grandma. He wants to go do this, that, and the other. So it's like, cool.
Like, do you see now, any talent in him?
Huh?
Do you see any talent in him for anything?
Like, he's rubbish at everything I want him to be good at, but he's smart as hell, bro.
Is it?
He's alright kicking the ball, actually. He kicks it pretty straight, but, like, he does a thing where he'll beg me to take him part to kick ball and we'll go part. Brother will kick ball for like 2 minutes and then he's gone off and stuff. He's carrying the ball around, and he's always singing all out of tune and shit.
But he's smart, so at least
he's he's so smart, it's scary. The kids are like bipolar opposites. Like, he's so smart. The other one's like proper just fun, and she's not smart. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Smart in her own way.
Exactly, man. Yeah, she's autistic.
No, that's interesting. I guess, like, but then you said that you're taking a break while being a father. How did you take that in terms of, like, obviously you're more family to T in respect because you've grown up with each other, but from a business perspective, how do you think him taking that break impacted your business at that point, or where Lost World was at that point?
I think even with T taking the break, he was still really helpful anyway.
Like, it's never like he wasn't call it a break, in it. I'd say, like, instead of a break, it was like, okay, I'm on 75%, 70%, rather than 100%. That's what I would call it. Like, you know, I might not be there a certain time, just that and the other, but, like, I still might hit you up, like, yo, we've done this, have we done that?
So does that cause any conflicts with you doing shows that go on late and where maybe you have to dedicate yourself to doing Lost World? Has that ever impacted your relationship? Not less so with your son, but with your mother, with your son as well?
No, not at all, you know. No, not at all. like what times like she even comes, like, do you know what I mean? Like we both got our parents around, so like they can kind of just look after the kids if need be. If not, I go off and do my thing. Like I might have the show on a Monday. She might hit me up on a Saturday. Like, oh, like you mind if I go out with like my friends? Yeah, yeah. Like, yeah, go on, man. Because I know I got my thing coming. So yeah, because if you got that balance and you got your own thing going on and you can do those same things together,
yeah,
then yeah, there's no problems, man. Life is all about balance, really.
So like you'd say in your relationship, there's a great understanding of your lifestyle.
Yeah, most man. Definitely. Because, yeah. Bruv, she can never tell me nothing because I was who I was when you met me. Yeah. I was doing shows, I was in studio, I was doing whatever I was doing late. And, like, I guess you need to find, if that's your thing, like, if you want to be with somebody, you need to find somebody who thinks that's cool. Mm. If you got somebody, if that's who you was when you met that person and they're telling you, oh, I need to get a real job or you need to do this, that, or the other, like, I mean, it's, I guess it's for who you are as a person, but for me, that's a dream killer and I can't fuck with that, man.
Yeah. Have you ever had those kind of conversations about you should get a real job often?
No, because I still bring in more money than she does. So.
Not necessarily with your partner, but more so with like friends, family, extended.
Oh, okay. Not really, you know, because everybody kind of, they know me. Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like a lot of people, they don't necessarily know me like as well as they could know me as a person. Mm. Like, you might know who I am. We might see each other from time to time, but we don't necessarily proper talk. And they know that I'm not stupid, innit? If I'm going to proper dedicate myself to something, it's going to work. So, I think I honestly feel like the people around me, they believe. They believe, and that's all I need, man. Mm.
What about you, Jamal? Have you ever had those conversations? Those?
Yes, Jamal.
Get killer dream, bro.
Yes, Jamal.
Yeah, I used to be in a relationship where I know my partner wasn't too happy with.
It's alright, free rules, you know. There's no diplomacy here.
Too happy with the whole Lost World thing and me hanging out with T and him being my boy. And,
why?
And
yeah, why, Jamal?
She just had her own reservations.
It's less though to probe her, just kind of to get to that point where it's like, well, these are the issues that a lot of people have. Mm. You know, I think even from my endeavours and my experiences, like I've been with people where they're in a different spotlight than I am. They get a lot more prominent than I do. I'm quite behind the scenes, you know, keep to myself. And, you know, I've been with people who are more in the spotlight, who put themselves out there. And sometimes it doesn't necessarily cause it insecurity. As even as a man, I can say that you know, a man can get insecure of a woman being in that spotlight because you know the added attention she's getting. Mm. But on the flip side, I just want, that's the things I kind of want to explore. Like, what are the things that she didn't like?
Oh, yeah. Oh, like, obviously, because I used to try and, at the time, not with her anymore, I used to, like, talk to girls and, you know, try and get girls for the videos and stuff like that. And obviously, where you're trying to come across as, like, you know, like not a scumbag, but suave. Mm. You know, trying to speak, like, it becomes difficult. Yeah. And then you're like, how did, they're like asking questions. And you're like, I don't really need this right now. Mm. We got a video, we got some girls, like, I just needed to, like, talk this certain way. And the stuff like that can be a problem, obviously. But, you know, like, you just work with it, innit? Like.
So was that a key reason as to why you're no longer with that person? That is the fact that she didn't support you being in your dream?
No. She did. But that was just a difficult thing that we had to deal with at the time.
Maybe and she had like the lifestyle as well.
Yeah, the lifestyle like didn't weed. Help. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like the smoking thing and all of that. But, you know, you evolve and move on, you know.
So when you had those kind of get a real job conversations, I presume with her, did you ever feel to actually go get a real job?
Well, I've always had.
I shouldn't even call it a real job because, you know, every job
career, though.
Yeah. So yeah, we've had those conversations, and I've always been like, you know, Lost World is, it's like my baby, you know. Mm. So like, this is what I do. This is what I'm most passionate about. Mm. You know, I could go down that path, but I feel like we have something special here. Mm. You know, obviously doing it over the years just builds us and it's just, we just can't stop. We can't
so stop. So you enjoy what you're doing, yeah. Irrespective of the scale of the money itself?
Yeah, I think so.
So would you enjoy, say, these are one of these Twitter questions. All right, so would you prefer having your own business where the money's slow and you never have that, you don't really know when the big money's going to come, but you're able to do what you do every day that you love? Or would you like to take that career job which has that prospect of, you know, your salary is going to increase by 1 to 5K every few years. Now your money's growing, you may not really truly enjoy your career. Which one are you sticking to?
Who's that question to?
Both of you, because I think it's a battle that a lot of people go against. You know, they don't really know.
Well, I've got a clear answer. Why don't you go first?
I feel like I'm still battling with that question.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really want to stop doing what I'm doing here, but obviously I know, right, I could choose a career in something else. It's just about finding what I like to do, and I don't think I've found that yet.
Do you think you can have that feeling within a career? As the same feeling that you get from doing Lost World. So, do you think...
It's quite possible.
Mm-hmm. It's possible.
Yeah, it's possible.
But for me, like, obviously I got the Kiss tattoo on my neck, which I can cover with a shirt. I've got the 13 now, which I can't. I've got Lost World in my skin. I'm thinking about tatting my hands when I get some more. I'm thinking about putting more on my neck, because at no point in my life do I want to sit at a desk.
Mm-hmm.
And if I do reach that point, then I'm not doing, like, it's not how I've pictured my life. Mm-hmm. I refuse to do that, because at the end of the day, regardless of money or whatever, you need to be happy. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like, you can be well off without being rich. You mm-hmm. can be well known without being famous. Like, I look at, like, the Boy Better Know model. Obviously, I've looked at the Boy Better Know model for a while. Where it is now is not the Boy Better Know I'm referring to. I'm referring to the days of, like, take JME, for example.
The T-shirt.
Yeah, like that. Like, yeah. Bruv, like, take JME, for example. He can walk down the street.
Mm-hmm.
But he's cool. He can wake up and he's JME. He can wake up and go studio. He can wake up and play PS4 all day. He can wake up and do a business still. Do you know what I'm saying? That's the life I need to be in, because when I'm at work, all I'm doing, bruv, like, I'm sneaking off. Like, I'm just sending emails quickly or working on my own thing. And, like, so many times I think, bruv, if I was actually at home or free, do you know how much more productive I would be?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? It's like, the work is almost the enemy of progress, but you need to get money. We get money, but it's, like I say, Lost World pays for itself. It don't pay for itself, myself, my kids, my girl, Jamal. Like, it's not there, so...
But it pays for itself.
But it pays for itself, yeah. So, we've got something to a point that pays for itself. Like I say, you never know.
Is that what really matters right now, that break-even, where... Even if you don't make a profit from it, but the fact that you've got something separate from your lives
as
you may not like, you've got something that pays for itself. It's not a loss to you in any way.
Yeah, as long as Lost World bills are covered, at the moment, as long as they're covered, I'm happy, because they're covered. And whilst they're covered, we can think about building on that. Do you see what I mean? Whereas, like, man, I'm trying to never put my hand in my pocket for it again, man. I've been saying that for that since last year, and that's been the case.
I think whereas now, where it's at that, say, the heads of the table, it's myself and T, without Michael, because he's doing his own thing.
Mm.
It's important that we have smart moves from now. So that's definitely something learned in the terms of, right, the company pays for itself at the moment, and whereas we're not getting, like, bags and bags and bags of money to take home ourselves. That's cool right now, but like Travis said, we're trying to build upon that and come up with things that we already have. Like we said, we got the website and we have the clothing aspect of things, and you know, just the company being like a spider's legs, where it has so many other things to it.
Yeah, that's the thing,
that it's,
man.
Obviously,
we have the show, but once we get the website back up and we get the merch going how it's supposed to go, obviously we have the whole business plan. It's like, it's back to the point of where it was maybe just before Mups left, because when he did left, we did proper take a step back and do the whole restructure thing. And I say the last 2-3 shows have been like the product of that, and it's like, it's a steady building. Obviously, like I say, you know, we've got the new photographer, we've got sick pictures and stuff, so it's proper just getting back to where it needs to be.
Mm.
Whereas it's in 2 hands now instead of 3, and one of the main aspects of that is where, like, Mups, for example, like, he's my brother for life, but he is that 31, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, do you know what I mean? Whereas so, like, when I was 21, he was like, you know what I mean, 27 or some shit, you know what I mean, whatever the maths is.
There's a different generation.
Yeah, it's like when I was starting secondary school, he'd finished.
Mm.
It's that kind of thing. So it's like certain ways that we see things. Like, for the show or whatever, it wasn't necessarily high. So it was a little bit of a, Do you know what I mean? But at the same time, like, he's now in a unique space where he can just be himself and make whatever he does an advantage. Do you know what I mean? Because obviously, at the same time, like, I'm not saying that our generation is right. Do you know what I mean? It's just that, that those are the things that we would clash on, and now he can completely be in control. And we're kind of doing exactly the same thing.
Yeah, no, that's cool.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Cool. So it looks like one thing I'm kind of taking away is that you guys have been extremely patient. And I think that sometimes a lot of people don't have is that patience.
Yeah.
When they're doing something that they love or they enjoy, it's like, even with this podcast, I've tried to make sure that I remain consistent and I'm constantly putting out episodes because it gives me that fuel to do more. But at the same time, my aim is not to hope that the first episode bangs.
Yeah.
Because I know the first episode isn't going to bang.
Yeah.
It will do well
because
I've got confidence in myself.
You have to build,
but it's not going to hit numbers. It's not going to be charting on the, on any list anytime soon. And I'm happy with that. Now it's kind of about a niche and kind of being patient and seeing it mature. And one thing I think you guys have done very well is allowed your brand to mature as you have.
Yeah,
like, you've grown up with your brand. Because I think, I remember met you guys when I was, what, 20 years old, I think, 2021.
Yeah, about that, yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Which is quite a while away now, you know. But even then, it's like you're in a different, completely different headspace.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
What was cool back then may have not really been cool, but we thought it was cool.
Yeah, exactly.
And now you're in a different space now where you've matured with your brand. So it's been interesting to kind of see that growth, etc. But from a patience angle, how patient are you when it comes to the money? Because you say that it's self-sustaining, and then you say that, you know, you're looking to not ever put your own hands back into your pocket in order to fund it again. Do you have that same degree of patience when it comes to your business and Lost World scaling to make money? Like, are you patient in that respect? Or have you ever been impatient? Be like, oh, this ain't make no money, or
obviously, like, it definitely comes with frustrations, isn't it? But there's obviously certain times when I just, like, think, oh, like, it's frustrating. But then at the same time, like, I think maybe this is one point where maybe me and Jamal slightly differ, whereas he's, like, slightly more pragmatic, do you know what I mean? Whereas I'm slightly more artistic, do you know what I mean?
So you're more impulsive.
Yeah, there's that, but not just the impulsiveness, it's like, you know, like, well, I could die an unappreciated artist and be happy knowing that 10 years from now people went back and listened and shit like that, do you know what I mean? It's like, for me, it's 100% about the art. Shit has to look right, shit has to sound right, it has to feel right, do you know what I mean? It has to be cool. Like, for me, it's, I have a lot of things that's more important than money. I know a lot of people, like, yeah, they're not so much like that, but I genuinely, yeah, man, like, as long as I've got enough, you know what I mean? I've got everything's handled and stuff like that, then I'm happy. I would love to be rich, but as long as things are handled, then yeah, man, and my art is right, then I'm happy. And if that can be organic and it can grow from that and prosper, then that's fantastic. You know
which
what
one's
mean?
The more money motivated out of you two? Or money?
I like money too. But like, yeah, man, like for Jamal, like, yeah, he'll make the decision based more on, like, yeah,
the
that would buy more, that would, yeah, this, that, the other.
Because I think that in every dynamic or every duo, there's always one that's numerically astute and the other one's a bit more creatively astute.
That's definitely us.
You know? Like, and I guess you do seem like the more pragmatic one, the more one that's trying to be much more strategic with it, where T may want to do X, Y, Z real quick. You'd be like, no, let's plan and get the money together in a couple, you know, in a week or two, and then we take it from there.
Like, yes. Yeah, that's even come down to, like, I don't know if I can put it into context, like even down to music, like, and releasing stuff, where I'll maybe wanna, like, let's package up this music in this certain way. Travis has got it in a, wants to get it out quickly, and I'm maybe holding back a
that's
bit.
That's the same. It's the same with music. It's the same with stock. It's the same with videos. But the thing is with it, yeah, is that even that it's good because there's times when he's right and I'm wrong, and there's times when I'm right and he's wrong. Like, we can give examples for both because obviously, like, when you talk about being pragmatic and taking your time, obviously, generally, that the connotations with that is obviously that's the right thing to do. However, from time to time, like, if you make that quick decision and you order those teas and then they come and maybe you should have saved the dough, but the teas come and then somebody happens to be there that day and you get that person the tea, then it was the right decision to make. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's the swings and roundabouts, really, and obviously, you kind of just need that, innit?
Yeah,
I guess, whereas, like, two heads slightly works better than three. Like, do you know what I mean? I feel like just the dynamics of it is just a...
Why would you say so?
Because
there's usually the things of, you know, trifecta, you know, trios, yeah. And, you know,
like before, like, yeah, we kind of had the root, like, you know, majority kind of thing.
Majority rule.
Yeah. And okay. obviously off of the back of that, if you outvoted, you outvoted, and that's that. Whereas now we can sit, hash out things, and make things, like, so we're both happy.
So democracy
it's easier to keep two people happy than three.
Yeah, true. Well, I guess you're kind of saying that democracy doesn't work, considering that voting, if you get voted out, then, and it's not the decision you want.
But democracy is a very, very flaky, flimsy, it's fluid. Bruv, it's so fluid, because like so many things, bruv, like not voting on the second referendum apparently is undemocratic. At the same time, to be able to do that is democratic, so yeah. It's like it's depends on how you look at it.
I hear that. So I guess you prefer a partnership more than a duo partnership more than anything.
Like I said, just less people to keep happy. Maybe I'm a bit of a little bit. What?
Who's the control freak? There's always someone that's a control freak in a partnership, even in a business partnership. That's hard to give up, you know, control. And I guess one thing that always comes into play, and I've learned this from personal experience, is ego within doing business with friends. Because you don't only know them in a business sense, you know them personally.
Mm.
So you feel like you know them better than they know themselves. And that's the ego that comes into play.
Well, yeah.
So how do you put your egos aside?
For me, like, ego doesn't really come into it at all. Like I said before, like, for me, I wake up. When I wake up, the first thing is, what do I need to do today?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? And then I'll do those things, and then I tell Jamal that I've done them.
Do you speak every day?
No, most days. I'd say we speak at least, like, 2-3 times a week, at mm-hmm. least, yeah.
Okay.
But yeah,
do you think it would be more beneficial to your business if you spoke more?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah. There's times when we've been maybe a bit more productive when we've spoken.
The thing is that it's really started with us just chilling like at my mum's house, sitting, smoking, like with nothing else to do. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And obviously now we've both built entire lives in it, so obviously we have to make an effort to factor those in a little bit more.
Has it been hard to keep that communication alive as you've grown older? Because I guess like when you're 16, 17, 18, you know, you probably go to school together, or you live down the road, you know, you come over after school nearly every other day.
Yeah, we did, yeah, especially when we both lived in Clapham.
I'd say
it's not the 70s, you know what I mean? I don't need to use my house phone or send a letter, like, you know what I mean? Like, I see his face, you know, scrolling through, like, you can like a man's picture, like,
you know. What I'm trying to get is, like, kind of thing, you know, as friendships grow older, you know, you talk less naturally.
Yeah.
Because life gets in the way. But then to do business together is, like, some people say that if you're doing business with someone, you need to speak to them every day, purely because you need to be in the same train of thought every day, in a sense where not necessarily know what each other person's doing, but again the way you think the way every day you wake up and you think about Lost World, and I'm sure you do the same, is kind of marrying those thoughts together every day.
What it is for me is like, if I get up and I send a bunch of emails, 9 times out of 10, I'll hit him and be like, you know, I just done this.
Mm.
That 1 out of 10 times when I don't hit him, I'll do more stuff the next day and then hit him and include what I did the day before. Do you know what I mean? So it's not, yeah. Like, we might not speak on the phone so much, etc., but, like, might send a WhatsApp message at least every other day. Do you know what I mean? If this is happening, or this person's done this, or this,
okay. And just going over things on what we needed when we spoke a couple of days ago.
I feel like the end goal's always been the same, and the train of thought's always been quite unison, so... It's good, yeah.
So from a personal development aspect then, what do you think the biggest thing you've learned personally about yourself while doing this whole Lost World journey for both of you? Like, what do you think you've personally learned about yourself? That you are
the master of your own destiny.
Yeah?
Yeah. Like I said, you know, we had a big team, you know, you allocate this person, yeah, but yeah, but just
so that's whatever your key you want to success do, kind of
thing. Yeah, whatever you want to do, just do it and do it well. And then after that, like, what's who do you blame?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can't blame you for not making my dream happen.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Yeah.
What about you?
The biggest thing
that you've learned about yourself personally? Not even business related, like about yourself.
Just that, like, I think I go through stages of of wanting it and not wanting it,
mm-hmm.
And just trying to stay on top of that, in like a functioning of like my life and the business. I think it's been testing at times.
What kind of conflict you had about wanting and not wanting to do it?
Just being like enthusiastic to keep doing the show and, mm-hmm. and our relationship, but like things we've gone through and stuff, but like, you know, it's just staying on top of it and wanting to do this, and I'm definitely feeling like we can build something big here.
So from that battle you have with inside of you, you have had it in terms of wanting and not wanting to do it.
Mm.
What was your distraction? Like, what was stopping? What was making you not want to do it?
I think it just became, I think during like a few years ago, it became hard with like just things that were going on in my life and stuff that was happening.
Mm.
But I feel like, you know, we're here now.
Was it more family stuff or?
Yeah, it was more that I'd prefer not to really gush. Just stuff that was happening back then.
Mm.
Was difficult with the business, but like obviously we're here now. And, yeah. I feel like we can do, man.
So you've got that less of that battle now?
Yeah, definitely.
So what kind of mind state would you describe yourself in now? Like, what is your, not key to success, but what is your mantra? What is your philosophy now going forward?
Let's get it.
Like, the time
for both of you, like, you must have, like, your own personal philosophy. Like, you were to write your own personal development book, like, what would it contain?
The time waits for no man.
Yeah?
And, yeah, you have to be about it. The time is now.
Mm.
Like, we have to get this, to be straight, be 100% like on the ball at all times, because, you know, that's important.
Mm-hmm.
I think T would agree, definitely.
Yeah, definitely, man.
What would you say your personal development quotes are, like the one that you kind of refer to describe a philosophy?
Really, actually, I'm just trying to be straight and strong within myself. You know what I mean? As long as I got that, then nothing else matters. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You know, like, even like that J. Cole line where he's like, I can't remember what he said, man, but basically, like, being broken, like, make him, like, break him, so being rich ain't gonna make him, kind of thing. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, for me, it's all about happiness and, like, just, you know, just being strong within yourself. So I've seen so many things that down the line they've bugged me, and like, you know, people not treating you how you necessarily treat them, especially doing a show. And there's numerous artists who've, like, they've been on our show and they've actively told man to our face, like, you know, I did a show too, because you lot did a show, like, it was live, like, I want to see that, you know what I mean?
So stuff you like inspiring
that.
So, people.
Yeah, there's that, but, like, it's like, at the same time, when they don't go and then put me on their show, for example, it's like, okay, I need to stay positive, you know what I mean? Because, you know, you can fall into that negative and start, you know what I mean, being passive aggressive and stuff like that. It's just try not to do that and just, like, okay. Remembering that everybody is out for themselves, so I need to be out for myself as well. Cause I'm a very given person. I'm very, like, do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But, like, yeah, you can't necessarily be like that with everybody. And, yeah, you need to be a bit more ruthless, a bit more, sharper teeth, you know what I mean? Because, like I said, I'm a chill guy, but, it's time to get it and get my own.
No, definitely. So what's the next 6 to 12 to 18 months saying for you guys?
Outgrow Ritzy.
Yeah.
Bigger shows, bigger acts, more cities. More shows for myself, put out more music, meet more people, do more wavy shit, shoot more videos, put out clothes, get people wearing them, make more stickers, slap them all over London, get more lighters. I got some merch for you in the bag, actually. So, man, just do wavy shit. That's what I'm saying, all things wavy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. What about you?
Definitely bigger shows, like T said, outgrow Ritzy. And you know, just start incorporating.
We still love you.
Yeah, definitely. But, like, you know, bigger shows with bigger artists and just have a more larger feel to the company over those next 12, 18 months, like you said. Mm-hmm. And just build on what we have, man. You know, like the website and the clothing, get the merch out, and obviously tease videos. And I know we got a couple in the can at the moment that we're just sitting on that are proper nice.
Yeah.
For real, we've got videos that are even out.
Not even out. So
it's just about marketing them right.
Just getting it out.
No, I love that. I love that you've got so much coming out and so much to look forward to.
This is the thing. Like, it's all product of back work. Yeah. The productive months almost kind of warrant the unproductive months from time to time, because, like, sometimes we do get lazy. Like, I ain't gotta do shit. I got 2 videos I could drop. Mm-hmm. I got songs I could drop. Like, I record at my house now. I got my recording equipment in my bag. Yeah. I'm about to go studio daily after this and play some joints. So, like, it's like there's always shit. Like I say, if you wake up every day thinking about something, there's gonna be so much shit. Like, mm-hmm. I probably have more songs that's not out than are out. Mm. Do you know what I mean? So, yeah, obviously being critical and stuff like that obviously plays a big part. You only get so much of it. Nice. Because there's only so many ears, bro. If more people was listening and stuff like that, I'd probably put out loads more. But it needs to get to that point first, otherwise it's wasted.
Yeah, you're not trying to.
Yeah, saturate it for no reason.
Yeah, it's true. That's good. I've enjoyed seeing you guys grow. I've enjoyed your output. You know, I think the one thing that I've taken from you guys that I've learned. I mean, I'd even be honest in saying that some of the things that you've done in the past have kind of inspired me to know how to go about things that I want to do with my business ideas. Awesome. And I guess kind of seeing you guys develop it, rebrand it, not even rebrand it in a sense, but mature with it. Yeah. I guess it not only a testament is to your growth, but it's a testament to your brand as well. Because I feel like it's been just enjoyable to see it. It's hence the reason why I wanted to get you guys on. But you've always got a well-wisher in me. You've always got a supporter in me.
That's what I mean? That's any what way I'm I can saying. Support. Because you know, like even the saying, like, one like candle doesn't lose any heat from lighting another, do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
nice,
like with that, bruv, like when I say even about other people putting on shows, it's not in no shade, but like I just do kind of feel like you got at least holler at me. Aside from that, bruv, like do your thing, go forth and prosper, because you're just another guy trying to do something good. Do you know what I mean? Four people like us, so it's all good, man.
Nah, that's good, but we'll see where you are in 12 to 18. We'll do an episode or two of this episode. And we'll see where you're at, and we'll chop it up again. But yeah, as always, it's been great to have you guys. You know, I've learned a lot, and I hope other people get to learn a lot about your journey, because I think it's a very special journey for two people, two friends of 20 plus years to, you know, develop something together. And you know what, I think that's a story in itself. But as always, thank you for your time. And yeah, that's another episode of Finding Your Forte. Find your forte, live your forte, and love your forte.
Find your forte.
Live your forte.